to Get Real with Rick Dancer. Tonight I'm excited, we're going to have a great conversation. We never know where these are going to go with Stacy and Scott. You never know what's going to happen. But probably close to a year ago, we did a show with Stacy and Scott Randall, and Stacy had just found out or been diagnosed with a terminal form of cancer. And she was given a year, and guess what? She's still here. Well, obviously, we're having her on the show. It's kind of hard to do. I haven't got that down yet where I can do to the next life, but you never know. You know, if God is my producer, I could do just about anything I want, I guess. So anyway, I've been asking her because I'm not going to tell you because there's a whole bunch of stuff going on, but it's really fun, and we're going to have a great conversation. This should inspire you. You'll probably cry a little. It'll make you feel like a human being again, and that's really important. So the reason we do this is because we have sponsors. If you would like to sponsor us, get a hold of us, let us know. I mean, we even do individual sponsors. If you just want to support the show, that's fine. A lot of people like the fact that we don't hedge away from controversy. And despite what Facebook did, guess what? So they've been screwing with me, you know, and cutting back my numbers and by throttling my content and stuff. And then all of a sudden, with all this stuff going on in Washington, D.C., my numbers popped up like, 180,000 a month. So now they're over, we're reaching over 300,000. We used to reach 500,000. They started throttling us down to 100. It's really hard to do business when you got people messing with you like that. But I think they're getting scared, and I like that. So our sponsors who are not scared are Dr. Michael Bracklin with Chris Federal Family Dentistry and Denture Center. If you're looking for a dentist, it matters where you go. You know, the guy cares about your freedom. He cares about your dental health. And he's just all around good guy. He's located in Eugene, Oregon. And spread the word. Let people know that Dr. Bracklin really does care about freedom of speech. Our other sponsor tonight is Alvord Taylor. And we love these people as well. They take care of people. They don't really take care of. They actually work with people with different abilities. So they're really big on helping people who, what we used to call disabilities. They help them live the kind of lives that they want to live. They're always looking for employees because you know how the job market is out there. They're great people. And in fact, we're going to start doing some work with them to spread online. We came up with this idea during a show. To educate people, like when you run up to someone in a wheelchair, you don't bend down to talk to them. You just stay at your level. You don't have to open the doors for people. And when somebody's disabled, you don't have to talk really loud because chances are they're not deaf. So we're going to be doing, and the clients are going to do the video. So they're going to tell you so that you'll be more comfortable and all around it'll be a better world that we live in. So Alvord Taylor, endless possibilities is their tagline. So let's get right to the conversation. Stacy and Scott Randall, here they are. Welcome to the show. Welcome back.
Thanks for having us, Rick.
Well, one of Stacy's and my biggest concerns when we found out she had cancer, this cancer, was, well, for her, I'm sure it was that it was they said it was terminal. But our second big concern, because we're both like big hair people. And I know, call it trite. It's okay. We can take, I will take the label on, but on the show I ask her, and look, you did lose some hair, but you kept that bouffant on the top.
Yep.
Ooh, God is good. So show people your scar. Look at this, guys. Is that not badass or what?
Starts up here. It's above in your hairline. I think it's like 9 inches long.
Yeah.
Wow. So tell people what you have had, and kind of what the diagnosis was, and then what that scar is from. They obviously did brain surgery, right?
Yes. So I was sent to the hospital thinking that I was probably just having some mini strokes. And after the MRI, they were like, so you need to get in the ambulance and go straight to Riverbend, which is the other hospital in our town. And you have to have it removed immediately. And it was a 4-centimeter mass, which in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't sound like very much, but it's actually a lot. And
how big, like if you can you make it, do you know, like
So if you were looking at the scan and it looks like this,
that's your brain.
Yeah. That was your brain. And then that was like the size of the tumor. So it was fairly large.
And so they had to get it out of there.
Yeah. She wanted it done immediately, but then that next day they were like, we just aren't going to have the A team, is what she called it. She wanted to wait one more day until all of her favorite people were going to be there. And so we waited another day and we stayed in the hospital another day until they did that.
So you guys made a plan, because we had you on the show shortly after that, and you guys made a plan, and you guys, so you sold your home and you're living on a compound with the rest of your family.
Yeah.
But you're out in Brownsville and so how are you doing? Obviously you've gone 11 months and how are your scans? Everything coming back clean?
Yeah. So the scans have been coming back clean. I had one situation like right before Memorial weekend where I had just posted something on Facebook. I was out on our back deck by myself. He was working. And I had just posted this, like, you know, kind of glorifying God and being happy in this situation. And then all of the sudden, I was like, man, I'm having a really hard time, you know, texting. I'm having a really hard time, like, just understanding, like, what I was putting on my phone. And so I thought, well, maybe it's just because I'm in the sun. And so I came out and tried it, you know, in the shade. And I was like, man, this is still not okay. And so I decided to come inside and we were getting ready to go camping for 5 days. And I called him and I said, where are you? And he's like, I'm out in the barn. I'm getting stuff ready for camping. And I was like, you need to come here, like, right now. And I was starting to, like, become numb. Like, it was literally just, you know, going up my arms and becoming numb. And I was really getting scared. I didn't know, like, why, where it was coming from, like, what was happening. And my leg was, like, folded underneath me. And he runs in and he's like, okay, like, get all of your blood flowing. Like, let's try to make this okay. And I was like, all right. And then my jaw started seizing and I really couldn't talk. And I still struggle speaking a lot, finding my words and remembering. You'll see me sometimes look at my husband and be like, you know, follow through with me here because I can't remember what it was that I was talking about. But anyway, so I just told him finally, because I was like trying to, I'm one of those people, like, let's not go to the doctor if we don't have to, you know? And then finally I was like, no, we got to go. And like I said, it was just becoming like really frozen in my jaw and everything. And so he immediately took me to the Lebanon hospital and because it was the closest, obviously. And they just started to put the IV in, but I was able to go in and get a CAT scan, not an MRI. By the time I got back, he had left because he needed a minute. Like, it really freaked him out. And then, so as I was sitting there, the IV was finally, you know, in, and I could just feel myself kind of coming out of it with the IV or with the IV stuff. And so,
what was it? What did they ever,
they think. It was just that I was super dehydrated. It was 2 days after like my last chemo session. So, and I'm usually really, really good about, you know, the water situation and everything. And I mean, literally I could feel myself coming out of it as that IV was dripping into me. And that was kind of interesting, but so I'm very careful.
But your scans have all come out clean, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No new cancer. It hasn't
right.
expanded, mm-hmm. which is amazing because with the glioblastoma, which is the tumor that she had, they say that it's not like a hard thing. It's like a gel, more dense in the center of it, but then it tapers out to just the finest film, you know, like just a jelly type. So to be able to get it all out, a lot of times is really hard. She was fortunate with where it was at on her brain that they were able to get at it. There's lots of people that it's inside, or it's in a place they can't get to, or there's two. If there's two, they can't do anything, you know? So God really had his hand in all of it. And even the doctor, when she came out of it, was very encouraging as far as we got everything that we could see, you know? And so
the only thing that was left was that gelatinous substance is what they called it, as gross as that may sound. But they got it.
Yeah. So we just kind of have really lived off of her words that they got it. And put our faith in God, put our faith in God, and say, you heard it. They got it. That's good enough for us.
How much of this is attitude, do you think?
99%.
Explain that to people. Would you explain that to people?
Well, first of all, it's, as you can imagine, it's incredibly traumatic. It rocked us hard. We mentioned it before, but they didn't even tell us really how bad it was until we were checking out after the surgery. And my wife just offhanded asked, how long do I have?
Jokingly.
Not joking, but just kind of, you know.
Right, but not expecting an answer. Right.
Yeah, I know you can't tell me everything, but, you know, what if everything goes well, what are you looking at? And she goes, about a year. And that really just was our world just coming apart right then. And we didn't know how to even act. But immediately we gave ourselves about 10 minutes of woe is me and in each other's arms. And then I said, okay, here's what we're doing. We're selling the house. We just made a plan right then. But the beginning of that plan was God's got this. So we're just going to live full speed and we'll go ride it until, you know, it ends.
At the same time, I said to the doctor, like, we looked at each other, like, did they really just say that to me?
Right.
And then I looked at the doctor after that and I said, okay, so that's not happening. So what now? Literally, those are my words. That's not happening. So what now?
So, Stacy, what was the scariest part for you?
After surgery, probably.
Well, not knowing him for a little bit was kind of rough. You know, like I did struggle with that.
With knowing Scott?
Yeah. Like I knew who he was. I knew I didn't know his name. I was just like, he's my baby. Like, you know, my best friend, she says, man, you were just like, you knew everything. You knew that, like, Sunday was the day of, you know, Jesus's day, like day of rest, like all of those things. And I was just going through all of these struggles and I couldn't remember his name. And that was, that really ticked me off, to tell you the truth.
Well, and then that must be like a taste of like what Alzheimer's people go through.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I think that's the scary thing. I'm trying to think of what it was that I experienced that was similar to that, where I couldn't put something together. And I went, oh my gosh, that would be Alzheimer's, which when I had my cancer, and I remember people going, you know, I'm praying that you get better. And I said, okay, but what if God doesn't want me to get better? And they go, well, of course he does. I said, no, you don't know.
Yeah.
Right.
What if he doesn't, and then he listens to you, and then I get better, and then I get dementia. But I'm going to kill you. I don't want to die of dementia. I can think of hardly anything worse than that.
Right. You
know? Honestly, I think, but I mean, besides that was rough. But I think because I've been working since I was 13. hard always, easily 50 to 70 hours a week. Like, that is not unusual. Like, I worked my butt off, and to go from, you know, not doing that and making sure that everybody is taken care of and whole. And then I was like having other people take care of me. Like, that's been kind of a struggle. Like, I haven't been working now. Literally, like, when I went to the hospital that day, I was forced by my manager to leave, my sales manager to leave. Like, the work will be there. Well, the work wasn't there. Like, I never went back after that. And so that's been kind of a struggle, like, not having,
not being productive, like being a productive, you know, yeah. Whether that's taking care of Scott or your people or whatever. I think that would be super hard, and people don't think about that.
Yeah. So it was rough.
So go back to the attitude thing. You said you think a lot of it's attitude. What, talk to me a little bit more about that.
Well, a great example is, I don't know if you know or remember this, but just 6 months or a year and like 2 months, I think, after or before that this occurred, I had gotten COVID, and I was in the hospital for almost 2 weeks. And they didn't think that I was going to survive. And I was just like, heck yeah, I am. And I really think that God, like, actually prepared me for that situation, for this situation.
Oh.
You know, like, after thinking about it, I was really like, man, they kept telling me you're not going to make it. They kept telling me that they wanted me to get intubated and all this stuff. And I was like, no. No, like, over and over. And like the last time the lady came in, the nurse came in and said, you know, Mrs. Randall, we really need to talk to you about
ventilator.
And I had I had the back of my head to her, and I had told them many times and told them where they could stick it. And so I said to her, I don't know what part of you can take that ventilator and shove it up your butt. You're not understanding because it's not happening.
And that probably saved your life.
And I, I have friends who,
we've lost people that went in, got on the ventilator, 3 days later, they were dead.
Right.
Well, and I also have a friend who was a doctor at the other hospital at Riverbend. And they were one of the ones that walked out, and they were like, that absolutely saved your life, like what you did. So
Scott, what did you learn? What have you learned about Stacy?
She needs to be doing something.
My house is really clean.
It's very clean. It's
she needs a manager.
It's museum clean, which is hard for me. So.
Which I love. It makes me happy. But
I probably got a better idea of just how strong she really is. I'm an optimist, and I think that helps us a lot. Some people say I might put my head in the sand about things, but I just have a little more faith in God than that. So. But to see, honestly, when we said she didn't recognize me, that was probably the scariest thing for me, was those first few hours afterwards where I thought, who am I going to have now? You know, right. Who is this going to be that doesn't know me, you know? And that was scary for me, but, her strength is the thing that I think has shown through the most for me with all this. There were, for the first few months after the surgery, there were a lot of times where we both just kind of broke in each other's arms. It would just overwhelm us, the woe is me part of it, you know, and honestly, the lack of faith, and and God being able to get us through this. But then we would snap back out of it. We would come together, you know, we'd both break down and cry.
I did last night.
And yeah, she did last night, which was more of just a, still just that residual pressure, you know, of the whole thing, and not really knowing. None of us really know, but when our last days are or whatever. But we really kind of just, we just kind of ignore that side of it most right. of the time. It's easy to ignore it because we have each other. My business is going well. And then we have our plan also. So we're easily distracted. But yeah, I would say definitely her resiliency through it all. Because it's easy for me to say, oh, it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be okay. But I don't know that. And I can't even say that. I do say it by faith. I'd say it by faith. And I try to encourage her with my own hope. But.
Well, and because I, you know, I kind of, when I had cancer, people would come up and say, you know, Rick, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, when the doctor said, Rick, you have cancer, your definition of fine and mine changed.
Totally.
And yeah. So you have this definition that you get to walk out that door and go, oh my God, I'm so glad I'm not Rick.
Right.
But I have something in my body that we're fighting. And I, fine isn't a word in my vocabulary, you know? Right. And yeah. I think people got kind of tired of me because I was really challenging, because all these things that I had said to people all the time. So I don't say that anymore.
Right.
You know, and they go, well, what do you want me to say? And I said, you know, all you have to say is just say, I'm sorry.
Right.
I'm so sorry you have to go through this.
Yeah.
Because
that's the only thing you can say.
It's like a blanket. Just give me a blanket to wrap up in. And Stacy, what kind of conversations do you have with God?
Well, I'll say that they are obviously greater than they were before, more often than they were before. I actually have like little kind of mantra sing song things that I kind of have made up, and I usually do those in the shower, and I just kind of repeat them over and over and over.
Like what?
Just about how I am loved, how I am healthy, how I am okay, and I am happy. And I just kind of have a little sing song thing that I do over and over, but it's kind of like a meditation, I guess.
Yeah.
When you boil it down, like that's kind of like what it is. And it's usually in the shower, like, you know, when I'm by myself and all of that. One thing that is just awesome is, you know, your family, the way that they like have come together. I have friends that, that are, you know, in Bend, who are school friends, as an example, and you know, they came together and they helped get us through these bad times. I mean, like schoolmates that yes. we've never talked to, and yet right. they started the GoFundMe-esque thing, you know, to help us like get through those times, and I'm so thankful for that, because that was a struggle, you know, when you go from making a decent amount of money and then suddenly you don't have that income stream coming in all of a sudden and you thought you were going to be around for a really long time. The fact that people stood up and out of the goodness of their heart to help take care of us for that little bit was just like, holy cow, like God is amazing.
Yeah.
You know, so it's been pretty incredible.
What I've been doing, and I don't even know why, it's just because I'm sitting there, I wake up and I, you know, worry about stuff And so it's hard for me to go back to sleep sometimes. And I started doing the Lord's Prayer because I was sitting there one day and saying, okay, so what do I say? I mean, I'm kind of all Christianed out, you know, and I don't want to, dear God, help me have a blessed day. Oh, God. Right. You know, I'm done with that. And anybody out there that does that, I'm fine. You're fine. I'm not criticizing, but I'm saying I got to get the rubber where the road is. And so for me, I do two things. One, I imagine I'm laying in bed and God is spooning with me. So he is completely around me and he's got his arms around me and we're spooning, me and God. And then I just do the Lord's Prayer because it's our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Your will be done, not mine. Yep. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. So take care of me. Give me my the things to sustain me that I can't see. And forgive our trespasses so I can forgive other people's. And that one's got me really good because I have to forgive other people so God can forgive me. Not, I don't mean that like some people are going to go, no, that's not that. But for me, it's like God is a loving father stands there and says, Rick, you're holding on to this stuff. Let go so that I can do more. I'm going to cover your ass, but I've got all this stuff I want to do and you're holding this. And that's how I mean that. But all that, and Jesus, that's the last prayer he said to his father, except for take me off the damn cross. But I mean, you know, that Lord's prayer was what he prayed. So like you, it's a mantra. And Scott, I love what you were saying because I do that too, is when I feel like, oh, I'm losing a client. Where are we going to come up with the extra money and stuff? I put my head in the sand. I go, okay, you know what? I can't do anything about this. There is nothing I can do. And my little Ricky dancer and my dad in my ear screaming, going, you should be calling more people and spending more time doing this and doing this. And it's like, I know I'm doing exactly what I'm supposed to do and I'm not going to stick my head up in there to get shot off. I'm going to bury my head a little bit. And I think we can all learn stuff from that. You know what I mean? Don't you think you must see God like so much clearer than...
Let me tell you a story.
Okay. I'm into stories.
I was struggling with everything that you're saying. Is like, I feel like we're feeling this exact same thing. I was struggling with praying in general. Because and how to do it and when to do it and all this stuff. And I was struggling because I was like, I don't want it to be where I'm just asking for things or, you know, whatever. I wanted to actually like build a relationship with him. And so I was really struggling with how to do it. And there for a few months, I was really having issues with sleeping in the middle of the night, and I would be up for like from about 3 a.m. to like 5 a.m. pretty consistently. And so I finally just started really asking him, like, tell me how to do this right, that I'm glorifying you in the right way, and then I'm doing it, you know, for me too, but I'm wanting to just do it right. And I just didn't feel like I knew how. And he, like, more clear than any time in my entire life, was like, yes, go to church today. I mean, it was like the clarity of those words. I was like, all right, well, we don't have a church. And I didn't know where to go, like what to do, like what time. I was like, all right, I guess I'm going to church today. And so I got up, was getting ready, and I thought it was like at 11 or something for the later service, and it ended up being I thought it was 11:30 and it ended up being at 11. And I was like, man, should I still go? I missed worship, which is my favorite time. And so I was like, yeah, should I? And it was like, no, girl, he told you to go and you're going. And I was like, all right. So I got in the car. Scott was like, I'm out. And I was like, okay, I got in the car. I'm driving down the highway. And I pulled into a church right there in Thurston Waypoint. And they had like breakfast, pancake breakfast thing that morning or whatever. So everybody was like cleaning up after the second service. And so I quietly just like went in, sat down in the back row quietly by myself. And the words out of the pastor's mouth immediately was, okay, we struggle with how to pray, so let's do 7 ways on how you're supposed to be praying towards Jesus. And I was like, are you serious? And I was like, okay. So I just like, I bucked up and I was like totally listening. And I was, and he went through the whole like process of how it is that you're supposed to do it. And I was like, cool. And I got up and I
walked back out, grabbed a pancake on the way out.
And, you know. And I was just like, but like, I was so, you know, I had been begging to hear from him, like truly, right. Because sometimes you're like, am I hearing it from him or is it what I want to hear?
Right. Yeah. I struggle with that too, because I think I'm, you know, grew up in the church and so much was, you know, be careful, little Ricky, what you do.
Yeah.
Because God is up above and he's looking down with love. Be careful, little Ricky, what you do. And it was like, that doesn't sound very loving. And when I got done with my cancer, and mine was so different than yours, because mine was highly treatable and blah, 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 blah. But it was like best gift I ever got. Because I got to deal with a bunch of shit in my life that was all tied to dad always saying cancer is the worst thing that you can ever have. Well, and how come it was actually one of the best things that ever happened to me? Because I didn't die and you haven't died, but bunch of stuff in us did.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like a bunch of residual, like, I don't think I could be the guy I am today doing what I'm doing if I gave too much credence to what people think of me. You know what I mean? And it's like, I had cancer. What do I care if you like me?
Right.
You know, right. You know, I was radiated for 45 days every day. It didn't hurt, but it was like scared the hell out of me. Sure. And the worst thing for me was when it was done, then I looked at the radiation text and I said, now what do I do? And they said, you go live. But it was easier to fight it than right. It was to live with it right. Or not knowing. You know what I mean? And when you said, just when before we went on air, and you said, yeah, I get my next scan next week or something. And I went, right there, when you said that, I tensed up because I hate my yearly blood test because it doesn't matter how many come back good. All that has to happen is one come back and says it's elevated enough that we're concerned.
Yeah.
And then I have to be put to the test again. And I don't want to do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm on a glioblastoma, like survivors thing on Facebook. And man, some of the stories and, you know, the questions and stuff like that kind of get to me, but at the same time, give me a lot of strength too. And it's very interesting to see the difference in the way that some people mm-hmm. are talking versus how we interact in regards to it. And I can always see the people that aren't doing well or who are struggling. They're the ones who are they're just not doing it right. And I know that that sounds horrible, but they're so negative about
right.
it. That it's just like, man, I can't be that person. Like have to be positive. I'm going to be the 1%.
And isn't that because that's it? And you totally give all that credit to God, because if you didn't, if you and Scott and me and Kathy did not believe in God, you wouldn't be in this position like this.
Right.
And it's not that, oh, because I believe in God, God's saving me. I don't think God has favorites.
Right.
But he has a story. And from the beginning of time, Stacy, this was your story.
Right.
Like, this was the thing. This is what I learned, you know, and planned with. Is like, this is part of, from, you know, I used to, when you go to churches and talk, they'd get so mad at me. But I go, you know, when the beginning of time, God created Adam and Eve, and he had me in mind. And he said, when this came to his desk, and whoever this does this stuff, whoever brings it, or if it's just natural, I don't know. But I'd imagine, like Job, the devil goes to God and says, yeah. I'm gonna give Rick cancer.
Right.
And God looks in his book and he says, oh my, it's 2010 already? Yeah, that's fine. You can't kill him, but you can give him cancer. I'm going to give him prostate cancer. Oh, that'll scare the hell out of him. That's awesome. Yeah. Let's do that. And I feel like then God just stands back and says, Rick, I've got you on this, you know? And if I died, then I have to assume, and this is easier to say for me than for you, I would guess, but it's also easier to say when you're in remission, is if that's part of the plan, then I get, what am I going to do? Like, I mean, argue? I guess right, I would. Right. I will for a little bit. I may say some cuss words and be really angry, but you know what? I think he loves me enough that it doesn't really matter. But he'll get us through this stuff. You know what I mean?
One of the things we had to learn also about it all is to be able to laugh at it and to not let the weight of it get us.
Yeah.
You know, we've become snarky with each other, you know, and but in good ways, you know, and whenever, you know, I always say, oh, she's dying, you know. Oh,
right.
You know, and some people are like, oh, my God, how can you even talk like that?
I'm
like,
you're so insensitive, Scott.
Yes, you're so insensitive. But she knows me.
Right.
And she also knows that we laughter doeth good like a medicine. So we try. That's been one of the other keys to our success through this in just maintaining our own sanity is that we're able to shake it off with right. humor or whatever. Even last night, she was having a moment, and as the one not experiencing it, like you say, you don't have anything you can say. There's nothing right. you can say.
Right.
You can just hug tighter, squeeze tighter, and just try to impress that, or you can take your mind off of it, and that's what we've learned how to do, and not successfully all the time, because sometimes in the process, we both break down again, you know, laughing and crying at the same time, you know, but a majority of the time we're able to, you know, I'm able to distract her. I'm her distraction. So he gave her the best, as far as one of my first bosses told me that I thought everything was an effing joke. He's like, Scott, you think everything is a joke? And it kind of is.
Right.
It kind of is. If you look at it in the right perspective,
right,
you can take something like this, and if we were to let it get us down, I believe that she wouldn't be in the
she'd be gone right now.
She yeah. would be gone. If I let my own depression spill over onto her, I'm cutting her strength in half or more, you know. So I'm just thankful that God has given me the mentality to that.
So, well, I think you're both really lucky to have each other too, because you just play off each other really well. And it's kind of funny, because is this your second marriage?
Both.
So don't you think it's kind of interesting? Like, I kind of overread everything, but that's just the way I am. My wife goes, oh my God, Rick, you're so, because I'm looking for God in everything. He had a plan. Your marriage is, you know, break up, and that wasn't his plan, obviously, but it happens.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gets you somebody that can go through, because he knows the next phase, and says, Stacy needs somebody, but also Scott needs somebody to bring some stuff out in him during this same thing.
Right.
And if our life is about building a really cool, interesting story, I figure we get, you know, several decades to come on this planet, and we get to create a story, and God's doing character development, and he's bringing us in, and he's saying, Rick, how much do you want to give up to have the greatest story that you could ever create? Because you can have a mediocre one and be comfortable, or you can just go balls to the wall
yeah.
and have something that is worth people looking at and talking about or learning from. And you
yeah,
guys,
using her as an example.
So you guys, in a way, this is what we live for
yeah.
is this. I mean, isn't that kind of weird? I mean, it's kind of weird.
Well, I think that it had to happen in order to truly listen to what he has planned for us. I think that this, because, you know, we're leaving on in the middle of September for about 2 months, and going around the country to see the things, just to see the things, get to know the people, whatever. And I really truly believe that in that 2 months time, I really believe that God has a plan for us. I've said it literally almost from the moment that they took that tumor out. I knew that we had something going on in regards to why I had to quit work, because I would have never quit. I would have kept going, even though he was telling me that we needed to do something else. I loved our home on the river, you know, in Walterville. I mean, you live up that area. You know how awesome it was. Now I'm like really good friends with the lady that we sold our house to, and we text each other, like, you know, pretty often, and which is kind of funny, and she's hilarious. But I had to have this happen in order to listen. And right. Because I'm who I am, the big hair, the big personality and everything, like, it was like, okay, you're never gonna listen unless it's really, really big.
Intense.
And so it had to be really, really big.
And don't you think also, Stacey, that it's because it's the perfect way for you and Scott? It was designed absolutely. From on high. And yeah. So it's not, I mean, because I don't want people going and it's not because you have a big personality and you're hard-headed or anything like that. I think it's just, this is like your opportunity. What's your tumor called?
It's glioblastoma is the
okay,
name.
So this is the glioblastoma tour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tour 2023. You should call it that tour. So when people go on the glio, I mean, it's hard to say, but people will know what it is by then.
Yeah.
But, you know,
I really want to, we have a story to tell. We cannot just wait to like get out on the road and tell our story and learn of it from other people. And, you know, maybe do some witnessing or something like that along the way. Like, that's really,
oh, honey, you don't even have to, you don't even have to put that in the plan. It'll just happen.
Yeah.
In fact, yeah. I would suggest that you not, because whenever right. we try, we do right. a really bad job. Just live true. Your life. I think God says to me and to a lot of people, it's like, sure. you know, what's my ministry? What do you want me to do? And God says, oh my God, I gave you a life. Just go live right. it. Shut up. You know, it's like you keep trying to figure out what I'm doing. I'm not telling. I'm God. I don't have to tell you.
Right.
But if you would just shut up and move, I've got the greatest thing for you planned, and you just can't see it right now. But I'm not telling, because I'm God and I don't have to.
Yeah. We call it living full speed. That's what we're doing. We're living full speed. We're not wondering what we're going to do. We're just going ahead and doing it, you know.
I know. I've got your tagline. Don't refrain. I've still got a brain.
There you go. I'm making up t-shirts.
It may not work like it used to, but it still has spark.
When we first got together, one of the things that he said to me, and it really just stuck with me, and I think it's kind of, you know, carrying over into what's going on now, but he just said, I don't know. I'm not just living, I'm living.
Right.
And when he said it like that, I was like, oh, yeah, you can either live or you can live.
Right.
And I was like, and so that's why we have such an incredible circle of friends and family, and we are so dang blessed with all of them that, I mean, we just like to do stuff with people, and the fact that they want to do those things with us and hang out and love each other and do all that, like, we're simply blessed people.
You know, when I know that I know that I know I'm going out big.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
There will be witnesses, and I will take people with me if I have to. I'm going.
Can I say something real quick?
Yeah.
When the Twin Towers fell, I thought, what if I was up there? What would I do? And I thought, I am going to set a new record for the most front flips out of a building on my way out. That's honestly what would I do? What am I going to do?
Right.
I'm going out big. I'm going to make a splash.
Well, Stacy and Scott, okay, so when you go on your trip, well, one, you might be stopping by here, but if you, when you're going, I would love to catch up with you like a couple of times on your trip and just see what your like cool stories, or even if you go to a town and you find someone, because I could tape it up. If you found someone and you said, oh my gosh, Rick has to talk to this person.
Yes.
Then I'll have you just be my co-producers and I'll get some person. And that would be super cool. I want to read something really fast because I think it's, but Tammy Davis came on and said, you guys are amazing. Patty Cake, I don't know if that's her real name, but it's cute if it is. Facing possible death for me put me on a journey that I learned so much, especially bringing me closer to God. Thank you all for sharing your story. And then James is on here and he says, what an amazing couple. Laura was on here. She said, wasn't she on your show before? Laura's a pretty regular. And then we'll share this on Facebook's not letting me do anything live right now because they are full of crap. But anyway, so I'll post it and then we'll get more stuff like that. But I would love for you guys to do that. And that would be really interesting. And keep in touch with me.
We would love to.
Thank you for making my night, because I have some stuff going on in my world right now that's a little uneasy. And you guys reminded me, has nothing to do with my health, but you guys reminded me that I don't have to sit here and worry about it. I'm not going to.
Perspective.
Gave me perspective. Yep. And Stacy, just so you know,
yeah,
I have never feel sorry for you. I just don't.
You're dying.
You're dying. I don't feel sorry for you. I think you're living big, and you just keep pushing, and you know, you're probably be coming to my funeral.
No offense, but I hope so.
Wow, that hurt. That one feeling I have left after running for public office, you almost heard it. All right. You guys, thank you for being here. It was great talking with you. And I will see you soon. Okay. Let me know your plans for the Montana trip. Okay.
Appreciate it very much, Rick. Thank you.
See you guys later. All right. So how's that? Now that's what I like to do. Real information, real stuff. Patty Cake came on again and said, yes, it would be awesome to follow their story. And what God's up got up his sleeve for Stacy and Scott. That would be awesome. And Leah says, thank you. We want to thank our sponsors. We cannot do this without sponsors. Chris Kendall Family Dentistry in Eugene, Dr. Michael Bratlin. If you are in Eugene, go into him, change dentists, find him. Also, Alfred Taylor, Endless Possibilities, working with people in our community with disabilities. Share this on your page. That really does help because Facebook's a little snot about all this. And we will put this out and get folks listening. Tomorrow night, Matt McCarl from New Leaf Hyperbarics is going to be on with a short show, going to show us something about hyperbarics. It's really not a show. It's kind of more like a little informational thing. And then on Thursday, I met a guy in Montana. He was 84. And I was so impressed with his attitude about life that I just said, I want you to be on my podcast. And he says, well, where are you from? I said, I'm from Eugene, Oregon. And he says, well, my great-great-grandfather was Eugene Skinner, the founder of Eugene, Oregon. So Mike Combs will be joining us. And the Eugene Skinner thing is the least of the interesting parts of it. When you hear him talk at 84, you realize, man, there's so much more to life than I'm living. And I hope that it gets you off your dead ass. Because you know what? You are the co-author of your story with the Almighty God. You get to co-author it with him. He has a plan laid out. He has a formula laid out for just you, but you get to either participate willingly and he lets you edit. He lets you write things in because he puts things in your heart that you can put in there. So you can live your life in comfort, getting a boat, doing all the bullshit that everybody's doing to try to keep up, or you can really go out and live life and find it in a different way. And I think that's what he's encouraging all of us to do. I think that's the gift of COVID, was to see this ain't working. And you get to take responsibility for your own life. If you don't, it will pass by and you will lay on your deathbed and you'll say, why the hell didn't I do something else? That's why Kathy and I left Oregon. That's why I quit KEZI. People were like, why are you quitting that great job? Because I want to live. I don't know how long I got. And I want to live. I want to live out loud. I want to live big. And this is how I choose to do it. And you get to choose your own. But unfortunately, most people will let life live them instead of them taking life on. And I'm sorry for you. All right. Good night.